Glory to God. Well, we've been in a series called Strong in Spirit. This is the part four, I believe. And so we're going to recap a little bit. You know, get everybody on the same page. And just, we had Easter last week, and so it's been a couple weeks. But also, you know, different people, sometimes they're volunteering and, you know, listen to the messages online, but there's people volunteering, there's people that maybe weren't here. And so we take some time just to get everybody on the same page, because if the more people are on the same page that are going with us, the more we can go. You know, have you ever been in a group and it's like they start going, you're like, wait a minute, I don't know what's going on. Well, the group isn't together. You know, we're not doing this just so that we can make progress in some, you know, message format over time. It's to get our lives changed, get the word. So we're gonna camp on whatever we need to camp on and cover whatever we need to cover. But we are going to go through a number of verses just to catch us up, and we're gonna do it, I believe, relatively quickly. So you have your sheets there, the video. Teresa's ready to go, and so we're gonna run through some of these. All right. All right, so let's just look on your sheet for the sake of time for some of these things. Luke 2:40. It says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And the child, Jesus, grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus came to earth. He's God Almighty, but he came in the form of a man. Why? So that he could come, he could die, he could be resurrected for us, for our justification. We talked about that last week. But he was strong in spirit, grew strong as he went on. And we want to be strong in spirit. Ephesians 3:14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit," where? "In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." See, it says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people. That's what we're talking about. Being strong in spirit is being spiritual. It's being spiritual. We'll get into this more and more, but it's letting your spirit dominate what you say, think, and do. That's a spiritual person. But we're getting into that. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted." The spiritual ones. So we're talking about, what is that? The Bible refers to these things in different places. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the final principles of the oracle, or the first principles of the oracles or sayings of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone," do you have the rest of it on your sheet? What do you have on yours? Okay, so you have the rest. I know I cut some of them off. "For everyone who partakes only a milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? Babe, or we would say baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So you can see this idea of growth, of maturity, of getting stronger spiritually. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Your whole spirit, soul, and body. So we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. We talked about that in depth. If you missed those, like, you know, we're flying over these things now, but if you missed the earlier messages and actually the ending of the last series, Guard Your Heart, go back and listen to those, because we spend some time on those things, but right now we're just setting the stage for going further. 1 Peter 3:3 says, "Do not let your heart or your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." So it's the hidden person of the heart we're talking about, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's the part of you that we're talking about getting strong and growing. You have a mind, you have a will, you have emotions, you have a body, but we're talking about being strong spiritually. And we talked about how in Genesis 1:26, don't have to put that up, but Genesis 1:26 says that we were created in the image of God. Well, what part of us? Your spirit. The God, Bible says God is not a man. We're spirits. God is a spirit. And we talked about that. But that's the part of us, the real us, that we want to grow. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." We're being transformed into His image. That's the goal, to be like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." All right, you have Hebrews 13, yes. Verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep." So here it says Jesus. It calls Him the great shepherd. Now we went over some of these last time. It calls Jesus the great shepherd. All right, John 10. Do you have John 10, 10 and 11 or just 11? 11? It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." We went over these a little bit last time, but it says, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus calls Himself the good shepherd. Go over to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 1, it says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God who is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor being as lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So here it calls Jesus the chief shepherd. So it calls Him the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. So Jesus is the shepherd of His sheep. The Bible calls Him the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Ultimately, it's to Him that we're responsible, and He's responsible for shepherding the flock. But He's placed in the body of Christ under shepherds, pastors, to shepherd the flock. Look at 1 Peter 5:1. Go back to verse 1 there. It says, "The elders who are among you I exhort." That word elder simply means an old person. But in the Bible, see, at the beginning of the church, when the church was just formed, well, everybody, now we're spiritual babies, right? Think about it. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're a spiritual baby. Well, as the churches were forming, there would be just the people that were older, had a little bit of life experience, would help maybe to just, the apostles were establishing churches. So you had the churches being established. Well, a lot of times an older person would just be there to help facilitate, but they were not pastors. The gifts in the body of Christ were beginning to be developed. The apostle the apostles of the Lamb, of Jesus, they were going about and they were establishing certain things. But, and then there was, of course, the Apostle Paul, and there was other people that were called apostles. But as time progressed, you're talking about the church in its baby stage. Okay? The church, the body of Christ is in babyhood at this point. It's developing, but over time, then there are more gifts set in place where there are pastors actually equipped spiritually to shepherd the flock. So when you see the word elder, that word just means old person, but as you see, when you start saying like here, the elders that who are among you, he's talking about people that are ministers. He's talking about specifically pastors here. And people that are in the fivefold ministry would qualify. But he said, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder. See, he's an apostle, but he's calling himself an elder. And a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He's telling you, shepherd the flock. He's telling the pastors, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Look at Acts 20, verse 28. You have that? Is that right before that verse? Okay, good. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Notice that. So here he's talking to these pastors that are over these congregations. He says, among you, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You don't make yourself. You don't call yourself. God will call and he equips. It's spiritual equipment. You can't stand in an office that you're not called to. You can try. In any area, what you are called, you and I are called to do, there's an anointing that means how the Spirit of God works to do that. And if you try to step into something that you're not called to, that's how you mess up your life. There have been men, I'm thinking of one in particular, was called, he was an evangelist, he walked in the healing revival, would just see amazing miracles. But he wanted to teach. And he kept coming back and trying to teach. And he wasn't called to do that. And when he would teach, I mean, it would just... doctrine would just be messed up. But he died earlier than he should have because he wouldn't obey God. He kept coming back, and people that were following him, still to this day there's people that follow some of that, but it was such messed up doctrine. He wasn't called to do it. But he, you would look at somebody and go, you're walking in this amazing ministry. Why are you trying to get out? Why do you want to do something else? But It's deception. We need to esteem, no matter what it is, what God has called us to do. Amen. And be faithful to do it. And don't try to walk in somebody else's place. It is very dangerous to do that. That's how people die. It's that serious. I heard more than one account of people doing this. You would think, man, you're walking. It's obvious. You're anointed to do this. Why are you trying to get out of it? Because for whatever reason, I want to do such and such. This man wanted to teach, saw some of the most outstanding things in the last century. But he wants to go over here. He died. So here it says, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit did it. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Notice that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, made these individuals overseers, pastors, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased in his own blood. Jesus is the shepherd. But he set people into the church to shepherd the church, which he purchased. So there, Jesus is the shepherd, and he put under-shepherds in the church. Now, we're talking about being strong in spirit. We're talking about growing up spiritually. That word, feed or shepherd here, both here in Acts 28, or Acts 20:28, says, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased in his own blood. If you go back over to 1 Peter 5, verse 2, or actually go to verse 1, the elders who are among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Now that word literally means feed. Look at 1 Peter 2 in the Living Bible. It says, feed the flock of God. Care for it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve the Lord. Feed the flock of God. Look at Young's literal translation. It says, feed the flock of God that is among you. Feed. And that's what we're focusing on at this point. Ephesians 4:11. Let's go ahead and turn over there. Ephesians 4:11. So we covered some of those scriptures last time. We're going in and hooking up with where we left off. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Praise God. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So this is what we would call the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now let's stop here. We're going to go into that further. But it says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So here, these ministry, or the influence of these ministries, are necessary for us to be strong spiritually. That does not mean they're all in the local body. And that does not mean they're part of the government of the local body. If you want to read more about that, there's a book by Brother Hagin called He Gave Gifts Unto Men. I would recommend it. It talks about the ministries of the apostle, the prophet, and the pastor. The pastor is responsible for the local church government and is in the highest authority in the local church. Period. In other words, there has been error in different places where they would say, well, you know, every congregation needs a prophet and apostle in the local congregation, and they're overseeing. That's not true. That's an error. That'd be like me going into your house and telling you how to raise your kids. Tell the dad what to do. That's not true. So the pastor is given oversight of the church. And here you see that literally, shepherd literally means feeding. So a primary responsibility of the pastor is to feed. It says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, or the building up, of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When you see perfect there, it's talking about a mature man. We're talking about growing up, right? Being strong. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into the head, into him who is the head, Christ. Notice, speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up. We're talking about growing up, being strong spiritually. Now, how did it say this would happen? Speaking the truth in love. First of all, God's given these gifts. Now, this isn't everything. This is one facet we're talking about today and last time. We're talking about one facet. But we're talking, here it says that God gave gifts specifically for the purpose of equipping the saints. That means if we're going to be fully equipped, we need this. This isn't optional. In other words, we do need to read our Bibles. We should be reading our Bibles. We should be praying. But that is not good enough. That is like you're going to, you know, just have certain types of preparation when you really need other things to fully be equipped. If God said He gave these things for equipping, then we need them. We all need them. We're not going to be as strong as we should be. Amen. So it says He gave these for the equipping of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ. But now, that's what's going on here in context. But now in verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up, that we may grow up in all things to Him who is the head, Christ. Notice, speaking the truth. What's the truth? What's the word? Now look at the next verse on there. Let's see. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 2. It says, preach the word. Preach what? Word. Latest fad? No. What they're showing on the news network? Politics. Latest scientific theories. What does it say? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from what? The truth. What's the truth? The word. What's the word? It's the truth. Yes, it's Jesus. We showed those, and we're going to, I think I have them on your sheet. The truth, the word, Jesus, those are synonymous terms. So they will turn away turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Verse 2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn aside, or will turn their ears away from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. On your sheet there, we'll come back to that, I think. But look at 1 Peter 2. Let's look at a few more of these verses. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Now, I think we're good. All these are on your sheet, right? Yeah. All right. I'll mark it in the future. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may, what? Grow. Which just lines up with what we said. How are we going to grow? We need the Word, which is the truth, Jesus. We're growing up. We're trying to be like Him. Not trying. We are growing up into being Him. That's our desire, is to be like Him. Right? Well, that Word is going to come forth. And one of the ways is, through the preaching and teaching of the Word, you reading the Word. But we want to have the truth. Colossians 4, verse 12, look at this. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the Word of God. This is a prayer that we pray for you guys. I pray for ourselves, you guys, people that we pray for. This is one of the, you know, there's a lot of New Testament prayers. And this is one. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What is he praying for? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Look at the 20th century New Testament. It says, praying that you may stand firm with a matured faith and with a sure conviction of all that is in accordance with God's will. A matured faith. What are we talking about? Growing up, being strong. Look at it in the Amplified Classic. It says that you may, as persons of ripe character and clear conviction, stand firm and mature in spiritual growth, convinced and fully assured in everything willed by God. Well, God's Word is His will. The Word of God is the revealed Word of God. Jesus, the Bible said, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He's the revealed will of God. If you saw Jesus doing it, you know that's the way God the Father is. So we're talking about being mature, standing firm, fully developed in what is willed by God, the will of Almighty God. Well, what would that be? That's the truth. It's the truth written, and it's the truth what He has for you. You standing solid and strong, knowing you are lined up with the truth of God's Word. You are lined up with His will for your life. That's being, and you know, as that affects your life, that's a mature person. Hallelujah. Now, let's read before we go on. Praise God. Let's see. So the word here we see being standing firm and mature as we grow up in Him. Look at John 17. We'll read that first. John 17, 16 on your sheet. It says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by what? By the truth. That means sanctify means to be set apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So we're talking about growing up, the truth, speaking the truth in love that we may grow. Let's read one more, and then we're going to get into a few things concerning these verses. John 8, 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide, what? In my word, which is the truth, Jesus Himself, it's proceeding from Him. He is the word, He is the truth. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, what? It'll make you free. The truth will make us free. The truth will make us free. How many people you want to be completely and totally free in your life? Of any bondage of the devil. Any snare. How many people? Let's see your hands. How many do you want to be totally free? Well, how are we going to get free? The Bible says the truth will make us free. Would you think the freer you are, the stronger in spirit and the more mature you are? So those two go hand in hand. The more truth we have working in our lives, The Bible says the doer of the word is blessed, not the hearer only. The doer. So as that truth comes and it affects our lives, we become free. Well, as you become free, you're going to act more and more like Jesus. What we talked about a couple sermons ago. Now, we all agree we want to be free, right? Do you want to be spiritual? Do you want to be strong in spirit? Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of us still have growing to do? Anybody going to stand up and say, I have arrived? Anybody want to be so bold? Because that's not true. If that's true, you have every person on the planet beat. Any minister you've ever heard, I don't care who you want to name, aside from the master himself, has growing to do. We have not arrived. I have to grow, you have to grow, we all have to grow. But the stronger we are, the more we're going to act like Jesus, and the freer we're going to become. We all think, we all agree that's a good thing, right? Okay, good. Now go back, let's go back over to 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Actually, yeah, verse 2. Actually, before you go there, just can you come back to that? But just can you put up Ephesians 4? Let's go back over to Ephesians. Let's read this, and then we're going to go back into 2 Timothy. Go to Ephesians 4:11, please. Sorry, I'm moving you around. All right, let's read this, and then we're going to read 2 Timothy. It says, and he himself, who's that? God, Jesus, gave himself to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Okay, so we're going to be equipped for the edifying. If you're edifying, you're getting free, you're getting strong, you're able to do more of what you're called to do, right? And we agree that's a good thing. For the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, you see that word again like we read in the other verse, but in the that in a lot of translations is mature. When you see perfect, it's not, you don't ever do anything wrong, you don't, like we just said, we can all grow. We're talking about a mature person. Doesn't mean you're Jesus, doesn't mean you've arrived, but you're mature. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's our target, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. We'll read that again. But speaking the truth. What's the truth? It's the word. It's Jesus. In love may what? Grow up. So we agreed. We want to grow. We want to be strong. The truth will make you free. So we're talking about preaching the word, speaking the word here. The truth in love may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. Now, look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word. So this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, who's a young pastor. He said, preach the word. What's the word? It's the truth. It's like what we just got done saying. He said, speaking the truth in love. Here he's saying, preach the word. Right? Be ready in season and out of season. So what's going to happen from what we just read in Ephesians 4:15, that speaking the truth in love, we're going to grow up. We've seen that we should desire the pure milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Right? So here it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, that's teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. What's the truth? The Word, Jesus, and be turned aside to fables. Now, we all agree, we want to be strong, we want to be free, we want to grow. Well, there are times the truth will hit you flat upside the head. It will rebuke you. Has anybody ever had this happen to you besides me? See, we want to grow. We want the truth. We all agree that. We want to be strong. But how are we going to get there? We're going to grow by the word being spoken in love. But that's not always... If we had already arrived, that would mean we don't have anything to correct in our lives, in our understanding. That's just not true. We all acknowledge we can all grow, right? So there are going to be times when the word is going to come and we're going to go, what? That's not what I thought. That's not what I heard. That's not what I'm doing. And then we have a choice. Here, and this will happen not just once. Because just looking at me. This is going to happen if we're going to grow. It's not like you just go through one time and then that's it for the rest of your life. I wish it were like that, but that's not true. We're going to grow, and the truth will come up. And we're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to acknowledge that? Am I going to change, or am I just going to go on? Now, what's the right answer? Should I change or just ignore it? If the truth comes and contradicts, now we prayed this before we started, right? If we're open, that if the truth comes and we hear it, should we change our lives and our understanding to fit the word, or just go find something else that we like better and ignore the word? So we know that's the right answer, right? When the word hits you sometimes, your flesh does not like that answer. It does not. And we touched on it a couple weeks ago. There are times your flesh is just like, that's it? You don't like that. But if we're going to grow, if we're going to be free, then we have to line up with what the Word says. And in context, he's talking right here to a young pastor. And he's saying, now we talked in Ephesians 4, you know, these gifts were given that to speak the truth in love that we may grow. And then here it's saying, preach the word. Preach the word. Well, let's ask it again. I'm not saying this just to be redundant, but we need to, we're hearing with our hearts, not our heads. We want to grow, right? We want to be free, right? So we want the truth. Do you realize not everybody wants the truth? Just look at the church world in general. Exactly what it's talking about here, because, guys, we're just being honest here. It's not comfortable to actually change and do the word in your life. Now, you can do it by the grace of God. I'm not saying it's hard, like it's not impossible at all. By the grace of God, you can do it, but your flesh does not want to change. Your flesh does not want to admit it's wrong. Your flesh likes things that make it feel good. But as a pastor, my responsibility, remember, what does shepherd mean? What did I say? Feed. Well, let me ask you a question. If whoever is in charge of preparing the meals for the household just prepares the thing that everybody just likes but isn't actually good for them, is that being responsible? It's not. How are we going to change? The truth is going to change us if we accept it. But if we don't hear the truth and we only hear part of the truth, what that means is the other parts that we're not hearing, we're not going to change and we're not going to develop. And so if we cut it off and say, well, you know, this is good. We like this. This analogy is not perfect, but, you know, you probably heard this and we'll say it. But people talk about liking the dessert scriptures, but leaving off the stuff that's like, you know, your vegetables. Well, you know, they just focus on the dessert scriptures and, you know, victory and everything. Well, okay, I'm not trying to nitpick, but truth. The whole word of God is truth and it's all good. So there's nothing that's like less important than the other. But to your flesh likes to hear certain things more than other things. Put it that way, okay? Your flesh wants to hear, we're victorious, God has put you over, and that's all true and it's all Bible. But there are other things that people don't want to hear, your flesh doesn't want to hear, that requires change. And then there are things that people have had other teaching on that contradict the word. And so for different people, the word that hits them upside the head could be different. Something that you are excited about and love and jumping up, and you say it's the best thing ever. Somebody else, because they've had different doctrine taught to them and they've taught something else is true, it could make them angry. Take healing, for example, or prosperity. There's different things that people, you know, you would say, you know, or victory even, that God wants to put you. Do you realize there are people that would come against you and say, no, God doesn't want you to be victorious. They think you're in pride. Do you realize people would tell you that? How dare you say that God is for you? Well, the Bible says it. But they haven't heard that. So they think you're being arrogant. Well, it's just, that's ignorance of the word. But that's the truth. Now, let me ask you a question. This might be very apparent to everybody, but it works the same in every area. If God wants you to be victorious, and that's the word, if you act on that word, then it's going to make you free in that area. If you don't believe that, then you are believing that God does not actually want you to be free, which automatically you're bound. You're going to hit certain situations in life, and if you believe God is not for you and He doesn't want to put you over, you're thinking, maybe this is the will of God for me to suffer like this. People believe that, and to them, they're bound. There's no way they're going to be free. They are actually acknowledging the devil's work and accounting it to God. And until they accept the truth of the word that God actually wants them free, they will be bound. But do you know what happens when you preach that into certain individuals? The religion behind it, that God, it's a pride, that God does that in different areas, you know, different denominations have had that taught to them, that you are suffering for God and that is a righteous thing, and this disease that you have on you, or that suffering with your family, or this persecution, I mean, persecution is a different thing, but something, you know, basically demonic is coming against them. They believe that's a holy thing. And do you know what happens when the word comes forth? There can be offense there, because the spirit, see, those other things are lies. They're not the truth. So I'm saying, what's the truth? The word. Anything that contradicts the word is a lie. So other religions that aren't believing that Jesus is the Christ, they're lies. Now, I know that's not politically correct. That's the truth. But that will, right there, you say that, that's going to hit people smack in the face. The cross is offensive. The gospel is offensive. Let's just start right there. You need a Savior. We don't have a way to go. We can't be right with God. And you can't work your way. That's offensive to people. But it's the truth. And you know what? If you don't accept that truth, you are ultimately forever bound. There is no way out aside from coming to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way around it. And people can reject it. They can argue about it. But what's the ultimate destiny? They're going to go to hell. Why? Not because God sent them there. Because they would not accept the free gift of Jesus. But it's offense, that truth. That truth is going to come smack into their face, and they have a choice. Accept it. Now, you and I would say, that's the best news I've ever heard. Well, who would reject it? But there are people that will get very mad at you. Why? Because there's lies behind it that they've accepted as true. The definition of deception is that you're believing things that aren't true. That's what it means to be deceived. You think it's true. You've accepted that it's true, and it's actually a lie. That's the definition of being deceived. Well, do you realize there? So that's obvious. And we talk about being victorious, and you would say, who would in their right mind would not want to believe that God is for them? A whole lot of people would fight you. And you go into some churches and preach that, they're going to get mad at you. Seriously. You got to have wisdom, you know, in dealing, because you don't want to just fly in the face of somebody. But if people are going to be offended at the word, and what we're talking about is us, because we want to grow, right? So the question is, when the truth comes, what are we going to do? And are we just going to cut out certain things? So, you know, like, do we only want to hear certain things? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. Like, you know, if I wouldn't teach on healing, or what about speaking in tongues? People say, well, you know, let's just shut. You know, you realize there are churches that have shut that down because they think, well, we don't want to scare off people. If it's God, number one, what do we believe? Do you believe that's God? Or do you believe it's just somebody just babbling? Because if that's the case, well, of course, shut it down. But if it is actually God, then how do you just say, well, we're going to shut that down? You know, Pastor Hagin has traveled widely and told the story. He's gone to places where they told him, because they've gone down this way of like, well, we're just going to box this Holy Spirit stuff. We're going to put it over here. See, do you see how deceived that is in the beginning? Is it God or is it not? If it's God, then if he's moving, what do you just say? Well, we're going to cut it off. What did you just do? You just rejected him. Now, yeah, there's air and there's flesh everywhere. But if we're following the real. So Pastor Hagin's, he's gone to places and they told him now, in this service, you know, we don't want the moving of the Holy Spirit. I mean, think of just saying that. Is it the moving of the Holy Spirit or is it us just playing? But they told him, like, now, in this service, you know, we have it structured. That's not the place for it. Now, there's this other service, whatever God wants. He said I've heard it from his mouth. Absolutely. It's absolutely the truth. And he said he went to preach. He, in the one service where you're not supposed to move, he said there was such an unction. He said, because, and this is an illustration of what I just said. Pastor Hagin oversees international ministry. Okay? He's forgotten more things about ministry than most people will ever know. That pastor that he went to is the authority in that church. And if Pastor Hagin comes in, I mean, he probably, I don't know, you know, this one example he's saying, I don't know who that man was. I don't know if he was a graduate of Rhema. Pastor Hagin was instrumental. Brother Hagin said, let's start the school. Pastor Hagin's the one that did it. Most people don't know that. Pastor Hagin and Miss Lynette, they're the ones that got it done, put the curriculum together. So it could have been somebody that went to his school. He could easily, if he was thought that way, say, look, you're out of line and I'm going to take over here. He did not do that because he understands the chain of command in that church. That's like you going into somebody's family and telling them what to do. You don't have that authority unless they listen to you. So he was there and the pastor had told him that. So he said, it's his church. I'm going to abide by that. So he is in that service. He said it's all he could do. The Holy Spirit was all over him to minister along a certain ways. And the gifts of the Spirit were all there, but he's like, he tried to preach the best he could. And he had to just squelch it. And then they got to the other service where you're supposed to be able to move with the Spirit. He said it was so dead. There was nothing. It was just crickets. I mean, it was so hard to preach. We cannot put God in a box. So is that, I mean, we got to say, is that the truth or not? Should we just hide that away and say, well, we don't preach on that because, you know, in 2018, we got to be slick and cool, and we just got to package it a certain way. Do you realize that's a lot what's going on? And so what are we doing? If it's the truth, we just compartmentalize the truth and said, we're not going to cover that. Well, guess what? No growth. We could go through any other place in the scriptures, you know, and we may get into some of these things later. How you're supposed to operate on the job, how you're supposed to operate in your marriage, how children and parents are supposed to operate together. I mean, things like this, how we're, what we're supposed to do with our flesh and controlling it. People don't like to necessarily hear this, so what, should we just, well, we won't cover those scriptures. We'll just preach on these other things because they're inoffensive. Well, guess what? We're supposed to be offended sometime by the word. By the word. And here's the thing. How are we doing? We'll wrap up here. If we get mad when, and I've had it myself, watch this. If the word comes and you, just like we were talking about somebody that has a different religious background, if they get offended at the cross, there are things, sometime the word will come. If there's an agitation, we have to ask ourselves, where's that coming from? I've been in a service, I remember specific, I'm thinking one at Rhema, before I ever went there. I was in a service, and there was some stuff, and it had not to do with really what was going on there, but it had some stuff I was, you know, dealing with. I won't go into the details, but I was thinking this certain thing was right, and this other stuff was wrong, and there were certain things going on, and I was agitated. And I was wrong. Because the truth that was coming forth was actually what I needed. And there was another situation that I could tell you about. It's been quite a few years ago, but there was certain things that I was looking at, and I wasn't sure about how certain things fit together. And I just I'm studying this out. I'm listening for all these different ministers I respect. What is going on? I want to find out. But there was stuff before that where people were saying things. I wanted to almost say, yeah, but they were, it was offending me. And I want to say, yeah, but this is right. And I'm glad I kept my mouth shut. I did. I was like, you just shut up. Just don't even say anything. I'm so glad I did. Because I was wrong. And I saw it over time. But the thing is, it was irritating me. Do you know what? The truth was actually coming forth. And what I was getting irritating at was actually going to set me free. What? God is never going to irritate you. He will never. But what, when we ask ourselves, why, okay, if I don't understand, so why is this agitating me? A lot of times, like we said, the word will rebuke us. It says, preach the word in 2 Timothy 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. See, there is exhort there. There is convince. There's also rebuke. Are we talking about, we're talking about growing, right? Well, this is a truth. That'd be like saying, I'm going to exercise and I'm going to have some real progress in a certain area. You know, if anybody tells you that's real easy physically, I would highly doubt it. Because there's a point where you're changing. You're having to do something you haven't done before. Well, you know, you just take this pill and everything will glide off. You know, the weight will come off, or you just have big muscles. Well, there's probably side effects to that. There are things that'll grow your muscles, and then there's other things that go along with it. Right? We know this in the natural, but in the, so if we want to, we all said we want to grow, we want to be free, we want the truth, but then sometimes we hear the truth and it's like, I don't like the truth. If that ever comes up, we have to say, what's going on? Okay, let me just think about this, because I'm going to look at it. It should be a warning flag to us. I'm telling you, when I saw that years ago, it was like, okay. I have to ask myself, because now if I sense that, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? Am I wrong? Do I understand something wrong? Because I want to grow, I want to be strengthened, and if I am aware that there could be something hitting me in the head, and that's a path to growth. And we all acknowledge that we have to grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's freeing. We want to be free. The truth will make us free. Glory to God. But we can't just preach the dessert scriptures and leave off the vegetables. We need them. Amen? Hallelujah. God is strengthening us. He's growing us up. He's helping us. Praise God.